Welcome back.
Welcome back to episode 5, I think.
I think we just fucking make it up.
They're coming thick and fast now, so I'm losing track. But I'm pretty sure it's episode 5.
Episode 5 or 3 or 4.
And this, I keep wanting to say this week.
This episode.
As if we were a professional YouTube firm that like releases content every week on a regular basis.
Maybe we will. It's not been far off.
I think we can do more regularly now.
Yeah, probably.
Now that I've not got the commitments that I...
And also with me. Another 5 album episode.
Yeah, another 5 album thriller. 2, 3, 4. Yeah, 5 albums.
Well, okay. 4 albums and an EP.
Yeah. And
we're drinking cold brew. Dan's new favourite drink.
Cold brew lemonade. As recommended by that guy from Knocked Loose.
Brian Garris. Because we both listened to a podcast where he mentioned it, yeah. And Dan had it once, and he was like,
"Oh my god!" The Downbeat podcast
with Craig Reynolds.
Jack suggested that I listen to it, especially considering now that we are podcasters. You know, you've got to keep an eye on the competition.
Yeah, I just bought some Downbeat merch.
Did you?
Yeah, I got a hoodie.
Quite cool, actually.
I got a hoodie and I got a t-shirt. T-shirt's sick.
Yeah,
what says blast beats on the back.
Has it got the drum pentagram on it? Yeah, that's cool.
It's cool.
And Brian Garris was drinking cold brew.
He doesn't like coffee or something, doesn't he?
Yeah, but he said he likes cold brew lemonade, and I was like, what the fuck is a cold brew lemonade? So I went and made one, and it's amazing.
Yeah, it is. It's nice. You got the instant coffee in there.
Yeah, I was gonna say this isn't really cold brew lemonade though. I've just shot some instant coffee together with some lemonade. I think it's nice.
The most ratchet fucking cold brew coffee you've ever had.
I'm gonna get some cold brew coffee and see if it's actually any good.
Next episode. Next time.
But yeah, that was the first episode I tried, and I turned it off after a while because I thought he was a miserable bastard.
Yeah, Brian Garris is a bit boring, isn't he?
The other ones are good though.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm gonna come back to the Downbeat podcast in a minute because the first album that we're going to be reviewing this week is the new album, What the Dead Men Say, by Trivium.
Trivium.
Ooh, look at those. Very current.
Yeah.
Talking about...
That came out fucking ages ago, didn't it?
Shut up.
It came out on...
Oh my God, it did.
It came out
on
like May or something.
April 24th.
Fucking miles behind.
All right, okay. Not that current. We're late to the party. April 24th on Roadrunner Records.
Are they still signed to Roadrunner?
I think they've been signed all this time to Roadrunner, haven't they? They're obviously very good to them. Trivium. This is the 9th studio album by...
Four-piece.
Metal band.
Four-piece.
I'll just call them a metal band. Four-piece. Are they a four-piece?
Yeah, they're all four-piece.
Four-piece metal band, Trivium. 9 studio albums.
It's a lot of albums, isn't it? It's a lot of albums since... Well, there was one before Ascendancy, wasn't there? There was Ember to Inferno.
Ember to Inferno, yeah.
And there was...
That's cool, isn't
it? What was the one afterwards called? The...
Ascendancy.
Another one after that.
The Crusade.
The album that...
Nomad Trivium.
The album that saw the whole metal scene apart.
I used to be a massive Trivium fan when I was in school. Trivium's actually, when I first got into metal... In general, like not just listening to my dad's AC/DC albums and stuff. When I was finding my own bands and listening to metal, Ascendancy is the first CD I ever bought, physical copy CD.
Was it? I thought it was Hatebreed.
No, that came after.
Yeah. Oh, was it?
Yeah, Trivium was there. I went to HMV and bought it in Borough.
Is it HMV still open?
Yeah, only in certain places, though, isn't it?
How is it still open?
Some places, they shut a lot of shops, but they still have some places.
Yeah, I'm surprised any of them is the one.
It's a shame, actually. I never used to buy Fuck All because it used to be extortionate. Yeah,
Dan's that guy who's still got loads of CDs.
They're all piled up on the shelf up there. I've removed my CD rack now, so it's a shower of shit. I need to sort it out. They're not even in alphabetical order
anymore. Oh my God, God forbid.
So, Trivium. So, yeah, like I say, first album I ever bought. So I was a big Trivium fan. For a number of years.
So was I. I liked...
Until... I was a big fan of Ember to Inferno, Ascendancy, even The Crusade, divisive as it was, and Shogun.
Shogun was a killer album.
And then completely lost interest after that.
Was it In Waves after that?
In Waves after that, yeah.
Was it?
Yeah.
I'm sure it was.
I'm pretty sure it goes In Waves, Silence in the Snow... Vengeance Falls.
Then that one that you were about earlier, The Sin something.
The Sins and the Sentence.
Yeah.
And this one. This one, I think.
Something like that.
Without looking at anything written down.
After Shogun, I just...
Oh, yeah, I didn't like In Waves. It was like they tried to... Like, I don't know. It's hard, I don't know. It felt like a sellout album at the time to me.
It felt like they were trying to like become current instead of doing what they do best. They were trying to do whatever else
and
is there.
I didn't like it. But, you know, there's still some bangers on there. The occasional banger. So, Jack, is this the first Trivium album you've listened to in a long time?
Like, I've heard, same as you. I heard a couple of bits off, like not Shogun. I listened to the whole Shogun. I loved it. Off In Waves and other bits, but never like sat down and actually listened to a Trivium album.
And so I have tried my best to give, because they're one of these bands where I keep coming back to them and going, fucking hell, I really like that album. So I'll throw Ascendancy or Shogun on any time.
I can't listen to Ascendancy now.
Can you not?
No.
I put myself off it for a long time. I started learning some guitar off it and realised, fucking hell, this album's really good. So, but I killed that.
Yeah, I killed that a long time ago.
Shogun's normally the one I go back to.
I can still listen to Shogun. I can still listen to The Crusade.
Mm.
But I can't listen to Ascendancy.
Yeah. And I really tried it because when I was going, you know what, I really loved that band. And, you know, I didn't really like In Waves, but I bought the album anyway and I gave it a go. Decided I still don't like it.
Yeah.
And then every album that comes out, I see people going mad for it. And I'm like, oh, maybe I should just, you know, see that I don't actually like it. And I wasn't just like, so I'll give it a go. And I got the other one, Silence and Snow or something. Didn't like it.
Nah.
Vengeance Falls. I think the thing that's annoying about them is that every album, the first three or four songs are fucking mint. And the rest of it's dross.
Yeah.
Absolute shit.
I remember a couple of my friends liked some songs off Vengeance Falls. There was some really heavy stuff.
It was really thrash. It was a really thrashy album. The first four songs or something were really good, but it just descends into monotonous.
All right.
But yeah. What is good about that, though, because I've seen Trivium live a few times years and years ago.
You always get the best songs.
Yeah. Like, when you think that obviously the first few songs of each album are really good, and then you think of how good the back catalogue is, just look at some of this fucking set list is unbelievable. What the Dead Men Say, Down From the Sky, Catastrophist, The Heart From Your Hate, Forsake Not the Dream, The Defiant, Pull Harder on the Strings of Your Martyr, Until the Word Goes Cold, Beyond Oblivion, Rain, Amongst Shadows and the Stones, Sickness Unto You, Strife, Bleed Into Me, Throes of Perdition, The Sin of the Sentence, Capsizing the Sea, In Waves.
Is there only one song of Shogun in there?
There is
Throes of Perdition.
Down From the Sky. Not
from the, oh, it's Down From
down
the Sky.
From the Skies.
Down from the Skies in there as well.
But yeah, they only have to take a few songs from each album, and the set list is fucking sick. They don't even have to play, what's it called? Dying in Your Arms anymore. That's how many bangers they've got. They can get rid of that shit.
Yeah, fucking sick of that song. Let's talk about this album.
So yeah, let's talk about this album. So we're coming in cold because we've tried our best. Or I've tried my best.
I haven't tried at all.
Any of the recent albums. Jack hasn't listened to them in fucking years. And I said, Jack, we're going to do this. What did you think of it?
I went into it expecting to be majorly disappointed as well because of that. So I didn't have high expectations in the slightest. Yeah. But it's fucking good.
Yeah, it is good, isn't it?
It's good.
I really enjoyed it. I think compared to all of the other recent albums, this is easily the best. This is the best album from since Shogun.
I was going
to
say, it has to be either I'm just so out of touch with Trivium and all the stuff that released is great and I just haven't listened to it, or this is just a good album. Because
I think what it is that, like I say, on the other ones, that they're trying to do something sometimes that they're trying to make poppy songs and melodic songs as well as the heavy songs.
Yeah.
And they never come together to make a cohesive album. Whereas this seems very much, all of the songs seem cut from the same cloth.
They're in the same vein,
It's like the first time they've had a proper vision of
what they wanted to do. Yeah. And they just did it because they wanted to. I don't know, like, the guitar work, even if you don't like Trivium, like, the guitars are just mint. They're just, they've always been mint. The guitar work's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Like, there's some super thrashy riffs and they've got massive choruses, like Catastrophist.
Yeah, that's a song. That's a big tune.
What a great chorus that is. I think there was only one or two songs that I wasn't fussed on. I didn't like it when they tried to go a bit too poppy and too mainstream. Yeah. I prefer the heavier songs again. But even like songs like Bleed Into Me, like that's like built for radio, that song.
And I still
I still quite liked it.
That was really quite good, yeah.
Yeah. There's some heavy, heavy bits as well.
When I first listened to the album, it wasn't until Bleed Into Me that I thought it was the first like poppy anthem-y sort of song. And I thought, if this is as bad as it gets, this is a fucking hell of an album.
I know.
It did get a little worse than that, but not by much.
Best song for me was Amongst the Shadows and the Stone,
Why is it that every single time we always choose the same song? I think it's just because we both like the heaviest song in the album.
That was good. I still like Catastrophist, even though it was a bit more
I like what the Dead Men Say as well.
Yeah.
Sometimes his singing's cheesy.
Yeah, it can get super cheesy.
I don't think it's what he says so much that he repeats himself all the time.
Yeah.
It's like he gets two lines and he goes, oh, well, there's a chorus. And he just repeats it four times. And I'm just like, fucking, no way, mate.
Just like, gave up on the lyrics.
He's always,
ever since the fucking dawn of Trivium, he's always sounded like he's really pushing his screams out. But it really sounds like he's pushing them out in this album.
Mm.
Like, really, really, really. What song is it?
The Defiant. Yeah, I don't know what it is about that song. He sounds terrible on that song.
The beginning
to the
of that song
of the
sounds like he's
album.
Just forgotten how to scream.
Yeah, I didn't know what you were on about until I listened to that specific song, and he does sound garbage on it. I don't know why.
I don't.
But
I even sometimes think his singing sounds a bit forced as well.
Mm.
I think it's because he's left it like really unproduced.
I think I don't know about that. Do you think
the screaming definitely sounds like it's fucking nothing on it?
I think it's quite the opposite actually of him trying to force it. Because I asked you the other day, have you ever watched his Twitch stuff? Because Matt Heafy obviously has a Twitch channel where he does like guitar clinics and sings songs and stuff like that, which is quite entertaining if anyone wants to go and check
it out. It's good, like content like that, I think, is great.
Yeah.
You're a fan of the band and somebody wants to like let you into...
He's doing fucking well out of that, like...
Apparently he makes more money out of that than he does with Trivium.
Yeah. Did you listen to the... This is what I was going to refer back to the Downbeat episode. Did you listen to the Downbeat episode with Josh Middleton about Metallica?
Yeah.
They like ranked the Metallica albums. And he mentioned on there that he's never revealed how much money he makes out of Twitch. But Josh Middleton, I think he worked it out by how many subscribers he's got and then how much money they would pay. And I think they said he was earning like over £40,000 a month. Just from his Twitch.
I don't think it'd be that much.
That's what I reckon.
That's a stretch.
That's what he said.
That much. He
anyway, he's doing fucking very well out of it. He has got a very good channel.
He commits though. He's on every day. He plays games on it as well. He doesn't just do like.
I haven't been a Trivium fan for a long time. But I want to take this opportunity to fanboy Matt Heafy a bit because he's a fucking legend.
He is a legend.
He's
like,
unbelievable guitarist. And he's such a nice dude.
Yeah.
And he's very honest. And he is very honest and open about it all. On his Twitch channel, because he blew his voice out before the last album, was it? It was a couple of years ago, anyway. It was a few years ago. Because he's been screaming the wrong way, basically, his whole career.
That doesn't surprise me.
Doesn't surprise me, no. And then he got in touch with... M Shadows put him in touch with his vocal coach who helped him when he blew his voice out.
Yeah, I was going to say he blew his voice out.
And so now he's singing, obviously, all false chord and or whatever. I don't fucking know anything about it. But on his Twitch channel, he's got one of them SM7B microphones I've got, which is you really have to scream into it. It's quite a quiet microphone anyway. And he's right up against it like this and screaming and talking into it at the same volume. Like, it's barely a whisper. So he's not actually trying to force anything or strain anything. He's just taught himself the correct, like, technique. And he just does it at talking volume. It's bizarre.
Really?
Yeah, it's weird.
Or maybe, do you not think he's just, like, fucking condensed the shit out of it so it's all the same volume?
Oh, no, trust me. Huh? It's very quiet.
Some people's screams are, though. I remember when I played Oh, I used to be in a band.
Did you used to be a vocalist of a band,
and we played in Scotland one time. And the guy who was like mixing us for soundcheck, he said that he'd had Vincent Bennett from the Acacia Strain. The Acacia Strain played there like a couple of months ago, and the guy was like, he's fucking shit. I was like, what do you mean he's shit? He's like, he's so unbelievably quiet when he screams. Like, he has to, it's all condensed to fuck.
Yeah. I think we've seen Acacia Strain a couple of times, and I seem to remember the second time we've seen them, I could barely make him out.
He's horrendous. Him live, he just barely even says anything.
Yeah.
He's the same as the guy from Every Time I Die, though. He does the same thing. He barely pronounces a word. He just screams.
Oh, yeah, he was garbage live, wasn't he? Yeah.
He's good live, because he sounds great.
Anyway, stop slagging everyone off live.
Trivium album.
Yes, Trivium album. So, yeah, I thought it was really good.
Yeah.
There's a lot of good songs. There's a lot of good riffs.
Loads of good riffs. And for the choruses are very, very well written. Like, yes, they can be a bit cheesy and a bit, like, singly, but they're also really catchy.
There is some really cool vocal melodies.
There's loads of stuff to sing back to yourself afterwards. Yeah. Like,
that bit in Sickness, was it Sickness Unto You? Oh, no, was it Bleed Into Me? No, it was Sickness Unto You, I think. Later in the song, where they go back into the chorus after a big section of probably solos and breakdowns and shit, and he finally goes back into the chorus for the big, like, final. And there's like this awesome vocal harmony that he leads into the chorus with. And you said, oh, that sounds like Jesse Leach from Killswitch or something like that. So when he's on top form, you know, that's what he's capable of.
Yeah.
I think sometimes he can be accused of phoning the choruses in, though. I don't think that sometimes they're that well written or he's giving it his all, really.
Yeah, I think, I don't know. I just think he can write a good vocal hook.
Yeah,
like, he's very good at writing vocal hooks. There's loads of thrash bits. It's really fast in places. But then there's also some really, like, heavy breakdowny bits. I just think it's got a nice mix of everything. The soft to the heavy, the thrash to the slow. And it's just got a bit of everything. It kept me very interested.
I think it is. It does a good job of putting everything that they've done before together into a cohesive album.
Yeah.
The most interesting album they've done post Shogun before this for me was The Sin and the Sentence, but it was fucking all over the place. It wasn't a cohesive album at all. I mean, like, I'd like some songs and some of them were terrible, and I was like, is this the same fucking album? But this is, you can tell this is the same band off the same album, singing well-written, good songs in a similar style to each other.
Yeah.
But it doesn't get monotonous for me. I think it's quite good. I think there's a lot of good songs on here.
Out of 10? Give it a...
Probably an 8, I think.
I was going to give it 7.5.
Yeah.
Pushing an 8.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to... Yeah,
go on,
you know what?
Go on.
Give it an 8.
Go on, yeah.
Give it an 8.
Give it
if
an
you
eight.
Like old Trivium, you'll love it.
If you like new Trivium... I think you'll love it. Everyone who likes Trivium likes Trivium.
If you're a bit of a metal
fans
fan,
are fucking fanatics.
Yeah, if you're a metal fan, give it a go. No matter your preconceived notions of Trivium, because I think it's probably the best shit they've done in a long time.
Mm.
And I think loads of the songs will get stuck in your head.
I think this is the closest to Shogun.
I would say the same.
Done.
I would say the same.
It's not as good, I don't think, but.
Bit hard, isn't it? It's a good album.
Good. It's not as good. There's no way, because those songs are just so good.
Yeah, but we like this album.
Yeah. Did you see? Obviously, you won't have done because you haven't seen his Twitch stream. But I think Trivium have come out of this COVID thing very well.
Yeah.
Well, they've released this album in the middle of a pandemic. It's sold like hotcakes, and
he's been smashing the Twitch.
Did you see the live gig they did?
No.
So they said they were going to do an album release gig. So they released the album, and then a few days later, they streamed themselves. So they rented out an actual venue.
Suicide Silence have done the same thing.
And videoed themselves with all the fucking lights and gear and everything, and got someone in to mix it and all that. And the fans paid whatever it was, a fiver or whatever, to live stream it.
Yeah.
Which was pretty sick. I was busy at the time. I probably would have bought it otherwise, just for the crack. Something to do. So yeah, I think they've done fucking really well out of this. He actually, the day that they released this album, Matt Heafy just popped on his Twitch and just played the whole album for him.
Midnight,
yeah.
That's it. It's like content in this day and age. Every bit of content that you can do, just do it. I just think it's stupid not to. More people should do it, I think. But he played
the album front to back and sang it all and just killed it.
Midnight,
just the boy. He said on there, actually, going back to like how much money, not he makes on that, but Spotify. I don't know how accurate he was being with this, but he was saying obviously he did that for people to check the album out. Basically, played the whole album, and he said, everyone's struggling at the moment, so you might not have the money to like buy the album or whatever. But if you can buy the album, buy a t-shirt or whatever, if you can't, he said, just stream the shit out of it. Just put it on repeat on the Spotify and just stream. Because if that's all you can do, he said, it takes 1,500 song plays to equal one album sold. How insane is that?
We should, as people who like, people who like music, we should actually listen to everything on Apple Music the amount that the artists get from one stream on Apple Music in comparison to Spotify is ridiculous. Yeah, Spotify is the worst. But they keep saying that they're going to up the amount that artists get.
Why do they need to?
Because they've got the monopoly, haven't they? That's the issue. Everyone's got Spotify. So
the thing
is, you can listen on Apple Music if you want to support an artist.
The thing is, if you really fucking gave a shit about any of these bands, you would go onto Spotify. And you'd listen to it and you'd go, fucking hell, this is really good. And you'd buy an album or a t-shirt.
Yeah. But, so do it. I mean, I always buy t-shirts. I always go see live shows.
Buy albums and
I don't
t-shirts.
Buy albums. I should buy albums, but I always buy t-shirts.
I bought a Cryptic Shift t-shirt and CD bundle the other day, actually, for the new album. So.
Very good.
Super fan.
Yeah. Check this album out. Very good.
Don't download it illegally. We don't condone that.
The only one that you should do that to is who, Dan?
Amua, yeah. Yeah. Download that. In fact, don't download it at all. Fuck that band. Next up. Nice face. Next up. That could be a bit of a thumbnail. The next album to be reviewed is by the band, apparently, Blackened Progressive Death Metal Band, Void Ceremony, with the album Entropic Reflections Continuum, Dimension Unravel.
What a stupid album.
You are not a prog band unless you've got a fucking colon in your title. Let me tell you.
You couldn't think of one, so you basically thought of two, and then you couldn't choose, so you just coloned it.
How prog is that?
That's very prog.
So, yeah, and this was released on the 26th of June, 2020, on 20 Book Spin. My boy's in 20 Book Spin, killing the game.
Who else is on 20 Book Spin? We did another album.
Everyone. Yeah, anyone worth listening to is on 20 Book Spin.
20 Book
All
Spin.
The underground death metal bands are on 20 Book Spin these days. Oh, yeah. So, Void Ceremony, Jack. Ever heard of them?
No.
Oh, that's a shock.
There's a theme.
I've never heard of Void Ceremony before either, actually. Until it came out this year, no. Oh. I seen the release on the release list when we were looking for albums to review. Clicked on it. So it had a mental title. I was like, "Ooh, that could be cool."
Got to do this.
And then I seen the album artwork. I was like, "Oh yeah, we're definitely doing this." Like, because it's like, let's just bring it up here. Let's bring this album artwork up here.
It's weird, isn't it?
It's like a weird temple thing going into a cutout hall.
Is it of a lady
with a dude in it,
or is it a dude?
I think I don't know. With like blood going into it.
It's
and
weird.
There's like a moon and a checkerboard floor underneath checkerboard it. It's fucking
floor.
Bizarre.
It's just so weird. Yeah. It's just got so many different elements
but
to it.
Between the title and the bizarre artwork, I was like, this is going
to
be mental.
Dan was like, yeah, we have to review this.
We're definitely reviewing this. So we reviewed it.
Yeah.
And what did you think of it, Jack?
It's about the same as I think of all of the other albums that you picked that are like this. I listened to it and I thought,
well, that happened.
Yeah, that was all right. It's the first song came on. The only thing I mentioned to you about this album was the song came on earlier, the first song, and it had that brutal beginning, and I was like, yes!
Yeah.
Yes, it's going to be mint! And that was it.
It's not as heavy as I would like it to be.
I thought it was going to be like super. It's really proggy and melodic.
Yeah.
And there's not much slamming and heaviness.
No.
Which is usually the reason why I listen to all these things. It's
definitely a progressive death metal band.
Yes.
Leaning heavily on the progressive side of things. It says blackened here. I'm going to guess that the black metal influence just comes from all the tremolo picked.
Yeah, I was going to say, it wasn't very black metal.
Yeah, I can sort of see where they're coming from, but yeah, I wouldn't describe them as such.
What did you think?
I thought it was all right.
Yeah.
It wasn't what I wanted it to be.
They didn't blow my tits off.
In theory, I should like this probably more than I did. I think it was the guitar work that I didn't really like.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of riffs. It's more of a jazz fusion album with a metal guise about it, really, than actually a death metal album.
Yeah.
And death metal with no riffs is just fucking pointless.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You can get very far away and very technical and very proggy. Like the Defeated Sanity album that we reviewed in the last episode. But, you know, as long as there's some riffs in there and it's heavy and there's some groove every now and then, get away with it.
You've got to have something to nail it down.
Having said that,
you've got to have, like I said with that Fyron or Pyron or whatever we did.
Yeah.
It's like, it's all right to be just crazy. It's all right to just, like, have... songs that are like really weird and off the wall and stuff like that, but you gotta have something that actually gives it a bit of structure and a bit of something to get into and hold on to. But if you do all the crazy stuff and none of the like the baseline stuff, there's a reason why everyone does it, and that's because that's what makes a fucking song.
Yeah.
So if you don't have any of that,
and
I don't think this is anywhere near as bad as that. But
no, I was gonna say
it to that.
I think comparing it to the Pyron albums,
no.
Doing it a disservice. I did like this. I thought it was all right. It just wasn't as good, anywhere near as good as I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
Having said that, when I've listened to it back later, because I do keep coming back to this thinking, maybe I've
judged it too harshly.
Yeah, sold it short. I can sort of, when I put the album on, I can kind of sing it back to myself. So, I mean, all the melodic tremolo picked riffs and stuff like that obviously stick in my head. And a lot of the bass parts do as well.
There's a reason for that.
Yeah, because there's a fucking very in-your-face, fretless bass on this album. Just
constantly, like when he's playing the high notes on the bass, it's fretless, so obviously it gives it a bit of a stranger sound anyway, but it just cuts through so in-your-face so many times.
It's cool.
And it gets to the point where you actually think, well, I thought, it's like, does this guy actually know the song? Is it in tune or is he just playing the wrong bit?
And it's
just,
I love sticks out.
But it also at the same time is it was really, really interesting that like those little bits where it like the bass peaks. I ended up just trying to like listen for the bass because I was like quite interested in how it sounded and the tone. It's got a nice tone, it's a clean tone.
Sorry, what was this? The bass, yeah.
Yeah, it's got sometimes I like it when there's like a heavy song but with a cleaner tone underneath it. I don't know why, sometimes I find it quite interesting.
Some people get a real hard on over, like, you know, like comforting stuff. Like, you know, someone who really likes, like, the smell of coffee in the morning or something like that. Or you know, our lass goes mental when there's, like, fresh sheets on the bed. She's like, oh, yeah. That's the sound of a fretless bass to me.
Yeah.
That's like, that gives me wood. Big, big time. I love a fretless bass.
Steve DiGiorgio
on Individual Thought Patterns by Death. It's like the greatest bass album of all time.
Is it fretless?
Check it out. Yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's cool. It's something a bit different.
Like. Yeah, I love it. This is going to sound like a strange thing to say. I like the drums. I like the high-tuned toms.
Right.
Really high. It sounds like this is basically, if Rush decided to release a death metal album, it would sound like this, basically.
Yeah, I can see what you mean.
It's proggy as fuck, but you know, because it's a meandering jazz fest, there's very little song structure to keep you hooked.
I lose interest quite fast.
Yeah, and it's only six songs long, and obviously because it's a prog album, there are like fucking between 4 and 8 minutes, 9 minutes long.
That's nothing in comparison to something that's coming up.
Oh yeah, yeah. So even though it is like a fucking jazz fusion fest, and it's, I felt, and even though it goes off on these bizarre tangents and you completely lose track of the song, I felt it needed to be more complex. Not song structure wise, but it's not technical enough for me.
Right.
There's just a lot of tremolo riffs. Yeah, right, it was just okay. Like, you know, it's like, there wasn't a lot of blistering lead work or big solos or anything interested. I was more concerned with what the bass and drums were doing, really.
That's what I was interested in.
Even the drum performance I didn't think was as good as I thought it was. I mean, there's a cool, like, drum solo at the end of one of the songs, which leads into a cool fill at the beginning of the next one. But other than that, it was just, yeah.
It was just what, the drums that you would expect.
Yeah. It's not. I mean, there's loads of bands out there in this genre pushing the envelope big time. Defeated Sanity, for example, on the, like, if you put that album next to this one looks pathetic in comparison. You know what I mean?
You'd much rather listen to that because it's got the heavy bits and it's got the bits that you can actually hook onto.
And when it is technical, it's technical as fuck. Yeah, and when it's really heavy as fuck. This is weak sauce in comparison.
Yeah, just sort of like doesn't hit this or this.
It doesn't really do anything for me. I think the production doesn't help either because I think the production sounds flat.
Yeah. Even the sound of the bass.
even the fretless bass, I think as far as fretless bass goes, this is one of the worst.
You reckon?
Not worst, but it's not that. It just sounds flat. And the guitar tone sounds really in your face, but not in a good way. It just sounds like you could reach out and touch it. It's right there. And it's playing some riffs, and it just sounds, I don't know, it just doesn't sound, I don't know.
I thought you were going to really like this.
Yeah,
so it's
did
so
I.
weird. I thought so you were really going
to
like this.
So did I. That's not to say that I don't like it.
It sounds just, like you don't like it.
I know. It's just that I just wanted it to be so much more than it was. It is the first album. So what I will say is that, like, I expected to like this, and it wasn't as good as I was hoping. But they're obviously very good at their instruments. They just need to pay more attention to the songwriting.
Yeah.
And I think their second release will be something to watch out for, because I think it could be really good.
That's two now that we've said that far.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree. Well, it's probably not going to be, again, it's probably not going to be for me. We'd review it if it came out, but it's not my bag. Yeah. And out of all of the things that we've done, again, I listened to it and I thought, yeah, it's all right, but I would much rather listen to that Defeated Sanity or another one that's coming up in the next episode more than this.
Mm-hmm. Okay, then.
So what would you give out of 10? I think we're going to rate this exactly the same.
I don't think so. Because contrary to what I have been saying...
Are you not just going to shit out here and be like, oh, I'm going to give it an 8?
No, contrary to what I've been saying there, I do like it.
Okay.
It's just not... I mean, it's nothing groundbreaking. I'll probably give it a 7.
Oh, I was going to give it 6.
Yeah.
I'll give it 6.
I think 6 is harsh. I think for me, depends on how your thought process works when rating albums. For me... 6 is getting into I don't really like it territory.
No. -5 is getting into bad territory. So no, if I think your five is
anything up to 5 is total shit for me.
No. So for me, how it works is 10's the best, 1 is just garbage. 5 is like it's just middle of the road. I'm just not bothered by it.
Middle of the road for me is 6.
Middle of the road for me is 5.
7, I think it's good. It's not amazing. 6, 8 and 9. Are 6,
I like it, but it's not amazing. 7 and upwards is like I do like it, and then 4 and downwards is I don't really like it, and there's a reason.
Well there you go
6 and a 7.
Yeah, so if you like progressive death metal that is very progressive and not that deathy, then check it out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Have you got everything up before you say next up?
Yeah.
Have you got everything ready?
Yeah, I fucking have.
Alright here we go.
I'll say that. What's the album called? Okay.
Next up
is the album The Forbidden Arts by old school death metal band Shed the Skin, who released their album on the 26th of June from Hell's Headbangers. Woo, we like Hell's Headbangers.
Doing?
Cool death metal central. I like Hell's Headbangers. Cool. They put some cool stuff out. Yeah. So, Jack, Shed the Skin. Have you heard of Shed the Skin?
Never heard of Shed the Skin.
Never heard of Shed the Skin.
But also, apparently, looking at the Spotify plays. Nobody has.
They're not very big.
They aren't very big, are they?
Which is weird, because they have a bit of pedigree, because the dude who started the band has also been in Incantation, who were like a massive death metal band in the scene. But then again, I think they've had some genre changes. Member lineup changes over the years, so probably everybody's been in Incantation at some point, I think. So,
well, that seems to be the thing with technical death metal, brutal death metal, and all that stuff, isn't it?
Well, this is most certainly not technical death metal. As I said, this is old school, grimy, basement death metal.
Yeah, quite simplistic death metal.
Yeah, yeah. This is an album that you just throw on and bang your head.
That is this
for.
However long this
runtime is, and then go, well, that was cool. That was alright,
yeah. Next.
Did you like it?
I did. Well, yeah. It was... do you know what I thought about this album? Is I listened to it, and I was like, well, it's not too technical to put me off. I like the vocalist. I like the sound of it. I like the riffs. It's like got a bunch of stuff that you can just, like you said, just bang your head to.
Then
I got to the end of it, I was like, well, that was quite boring.
Yeah,
that's what I thought.
You weren't bothered about it at all.
No, but the thing is, I listened to it and I was like, oh yeah, I quite like this riff and I quite like that bit with the vocals and I think this bit's cool, but then just fucking didn't interest me enough to want to go back to it.
Yeah, that's the thing with bands like this is, like I say, if I'm in the mood for something middle of the road that I can just
proper
throw on and have
the road.
Fun, because I think this is a fun album. I think bands like this are fun.
I would love to...
It doesn't take itself too seriously.
Have loads of beers and watch this band live.
Yeah.
Because I think that's exactly what you need to do with this band.
Absolutely, yeah. It's just old school, no shit, death metal band that does absolutely nothing in the way of, pushing the envelope of the scene at all.
Nope.
But, you know, like you say, there's some good riffs on here.
There is some good riffs.
I have another album by Shed the Skin called Something of...
That was the first one.
It's called... Oh, can't remember. Something of Faith. Harrowing Faith. From a few years ago. I didn't realise it released one in between because I've not been keeping track on them. And apparently no one keeps track on this band.
No, apparently not.
I really liked it. I thought it was cool. And I got it at the time and I was like, yeah, these guys will be, I probably said to myself, these guys are going to do well. But then in the back of my mind, I thought, well, but, you know, it's just one of them bands that'll just plug away. They're good. I like them.
If you're not into death metal, I would say you could start here.
Yeah, absolutely. This would be a good gateway band.
It
doesn't take itself too seriously, does it?
It's like a little bit of thrash, isn't it?
Mm.
With a death metal vocalist.
It's like they've got, it's like a bit of a tongue-in-cheek. It's almost like it's taking the piss out of its own scene.
Yeah.
But it's probably not. I'm also a big fan of the guitar solos. They've got like absolutely rocking dad solos in the middle of a death metal song, which is cool. But guys, for the next album, we need more wah. We need a wah pedal on those solos.
I said this to you. I just don't have a huge amount to say about it. It's just like, it's good.
Nothing groundbreaking.
It's not groundbreaking. I would go and listen to it if you want. Yeah, probably gonna have the exact same opinion as we do.
It's just straight up death metal, middle of the road. If you like shit like this, go and listen to Bone Gnawer or Grave Hill, someone, I don't know, fucking just any generic death metal band, really.
It's a little bit more accessible than like death metal, though. If you go to like Cannibal Corpse or Dying Fetus or something like that,
I'd say they're pretty accessible death metal bands.
I would say this is more accessible.
Probably, yeah, I suppose.
I would say so. Yeah. I would say the way it's produced and the way it sounds, and because it's not just, it doesn't blast beat your fucking face off constantly.
No.
It's Muslim a lot more a backer, 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 backer. Like the thrashy beats, isn't it? So
it's if your dad played death metal,
dad played death metal, this is exactly
not
what
bad.
It is.
I think it's good.
Good. It's good fun.
Good fun. Not much more to say on it, though.
No.
The artwork's kind of cool. The black and white crawling dead thing. So
what would you give out of 10?
Probably another 7.
I'd give it a 6.5.
Yeah, okay. Fair enough. There you go. Go buy the album if it sounds interesting enough to you.
and get them over 1,000 players on all of the top...
the poor guys.
The poor guys don't even have 1,000 players. They've got over 1,000 players on one, and all the others say less than 1,000 players on Spotify.
Yeah, that's no good. They're definitely better than that.
They're better than that, like.
Fucking hell.
They're better than that.
Okay. So,
next!
Next! Next up is a new feature that we're calling... up next, we've got a new feature that we're calling Under the Knife Underground. So in this section, because we had someone come to us, we're going to be reviewing underground bands that aren't signed and stuff like that. If they want their stuff reviewing, then we'll review it.
Just these guys are signed.
Oh, sorry, I think these... Well,
these guys are signed, but we'll do unsigned bands.
Small-time underground bands, if they want their stuff reviewing, we'll review it.
Yeah.
And this guy came to us on Instagram and said, will you review our album? And I said, yeah, as long as you don't mind us ripping the piss out of it, if we don't think it's any good.
We aren't just going to fucking rip the piss out of it because it's a small-time band. We're just going to rip it if it's rubbish.
Yeah, so we explain that it's going to be objective, so if anyone out there wants an objective opinion, unbiased opinion on your band's release, get in touch, and we will give it a fair shake.
Yeah.
For our first ever Under the Knife Underground review, we're going to be reviewing the EP called Insanitude by the band Scent of Darkness.
Cool album name. Shit band name.
Shit band name. It's not the coolest. Sorry. It's not the coolest band name in the world, is it?
Scent of Darkness.
Does darkness have a smell?
No,
I don't think it does, does it? No. This is a 4-song EP released by Masked Dead Records.
Yeah.
I'm sure he was Italian.
Do you want to find out?
Get on the gram.
Go on the gram. The Insta.
I'm sure they were from Italy.
Scent of Darkness. Bum, bum, rah, bum, 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 bum. Is that supposed to be?
That was...
By his murder.
Yeah. Obviously. How could you not tell? Yes, from Italy.
Okay.
This is a 4-song EP by self-proclaimed funeral doom band, Scent of Darkness, from Italy. Yay, Italy.
Is that what they call themselves? Funeral doom.
That's what he said. They are funeral doom, yeah. Something I'm not that familiar with, I'll be honest.
I've never listened to anything that's got...
I do listen to some doom. I don't know. I don't really know the genre. Anyway. So, Scent of Darkness. Did you give it a listen?
Yeah.
Any good? Shall I ask you?
It's a mixed bag. It's just...
Do you want me to go first?
I'll let you go first. Okay.
So I listened to the album, or the EP, and I think that there is some good songs on here, and there's some good songwriting.
There's a good vibe.
There's a good vibe.
They create a sort of, they create a good feel with what they're going for, because obviously, like you said, doom and funeral, whatever. it's all about mood. When you're going for a, it's not about having super complex songs or super heavy songs, it's about creating a vibe.
Yeah, depressing.
Yes.
It's going to be depressing.
If it's got and, funeral in the genre. It's
this, I think the band definitely sounds like they know what they're doing within this genre, and the songs are well written, and it definitely gets the point across. And I enjoyed it for the most part. There was a lot of melodies, a lot of guitar leads and melodies. And the vocalist was actually really good.
Yeah.
His guttural stuff was really good.
Yeah, and he does some... The chorus he's singing.
Yeah, he does like a choir singing bit like on the first song. Yeah. He does a lot of different vocal techniques, actually. He's not shy of experimenting. No, the high screams, the low screams, the...
even cries.
Yeah, there's a strange, like, spoken word... poetry bit in Whispers from Nowhere where he's like weeping.
Yeah, like which is crying into
cringy as fuck.
Yeah.
But whatever. It wasn't the worst thing in the world.
Yeah, I mean you're committed to it, so
yeah.
I can give you that because you
props for committing to
it. You committed fully to that take.
Yeah. So as a whole, for a little EP, I think it's good. The songs are good, the style's good, the direction's good. What is not good?
What is?
Is the execution? Unfortunately, I don't know whether the guys, correct me if I'm wrong, whether you recorded it at a studio or you recorded it yourself. It's not the best production job in the world, but it's okay.
I think we get when you go for raw, and we understand when you go for something that's like doesn't want to be tampered with. But if you're going to go for raw and you're going to go for something that's not super edited and cut up, play the parts
correctly.
Right. Yeah. There's a section.
There's obviously been no editing to the drums here.
Double bass. At the beginning of
the song Trust Issues, the second song, opens with a double kick run and like slow cymbals and snare that is completely out of time.
It's just completely out of time.
There's like not enough notes to fill the, and it just sounds so amateur.
And it's not like Lars Ulrich out of time, where it's like just
is anything that
it's where he's just like, you know, he's trying his hardest. It's as if you've done it and you've got it wrong, but you've gone, nah, just keep it in.
Yeah. No, like I say, the songs here are good, the direction's good, and you've sold yourselves short by not performing it correctly.
And again, it doesn't need to be super edited and doesn't need to be like quantized and stuff like that, but like...
Well, just fucking play it, right?
On some of the lead lines, it's as if your guitar was out of tune.
Yeah, the guitar's out of tune a couple of times.
Like, just tune your guitar.
Some of the lead lines, the guy doesn't sound particularly comfortable with it. It sounds as though it takes a lot of effort to go from one note to the next, as if he, you know, like someone who's first playing guitar, which I know sounds harsh, and I don't want to be harsh to the band.
And if you are, then fair enough.
Yeah, well, yeah, I know, exactly. I don't know how long you guys have played, but fuck it, I'm going to assume that you've played a while to put together such a coherent EP, because it definitely does its job. And within this genre, I think it's well written and well done. It's just not well performed, unfortunately.
Correct.
And for future releases, I would definitely knuckle down a bit more, get the songs tight before you go into the studio.
Yeah.
So sorry. But
fans of
fucking no idea. I don't really know.
Bellwitch.
Nah, they don't really sound like Bellwitch.
They've got a Bellwitchy vibe, don't they?
That's just because that's the only Doom band you know.
That is the only Doom band I know. But so we don't dislike it.
No,
we think I think the songs are good.
I think it's a good effort.
Yeah,
songs are all right. Direction's cool, style's cool. It's not well executed, unfortunately, which is a shame. Because I think if it was executed better, and someone told me, "Oh, this is an EP by a new big Doom band," I'd have been like, "Oh yeah, cool."
Yeah, this is it.
I would have believed him. So yeah, what would you rate it?
I would go 6.5.
I'd go 6, I think.
You go 6? Yeah, yeah. I guess if it's 6.5. I think it's good enough. I think the song, like the way that it's written in it, it has a good feel and a good vibe, which for this music is the main thing.
It's the important thing.
The important thing. And
technicality is I mean
you don't need to be technical in the show.
You need to be able to play a fucking song, but
so that, and that's what does let it down.
Yeah. So, guys, go check it out on Spotify, Insanitude by Scent of Darkness. And if you want your album reviewed, you just get in touch.
Just drop us a message on Instagram or Facebook or anything. I'll leave comments on YouTube and then we'll give it a go.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that wraps it up for this episode. Give us a like on Instagram and Facebook. Drop a subscribe down on YouTube and hit the bell icon. That'll let you know when we upload a new video. And we're trying to upload, we're splitting them down to like each episode, aren't we? So each band's each episode. So you'll have a lot of content coming on YouTube. Podcasts, they are on Spotify and Apple Podcasts as well. So if you want to go over there and listen, we're just going to do a bulk episode so you aren't getting a bunch of little small ones. But thanks for listening and we'll see you next time.
Bye.